breeze with an outstretched arm. I will bless your name. Oh, oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, sweet Jesus. Oh, praise this morning. Praise you, awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, King Jesus. Welcome everybody online. We want to say thank you for being with us this morning. We do have a couple announcements that we need to bring to you.
Good morning, church family. Super quickly, just a couple of things. Another work day is going to be out at Little George Havens, which is Miss Lucy's camp, next weekend, the 11th and the 12th, both days. On the 12th, though, that morning, James is going to have breakfast for you guys out there on that day. But 8 a.m. on the 11th and 12th, work day out at Miss Lucy's. Gosh. That's the only announcement I have. I know that Mark is going to talk about the youth. Yes, he is. And Devin and Sita are having another baby girl. We're definitely outnumbered here in our church with children. It's amazing, though. Thank y'all. That's all I got.
So after the work day, everybody bring their appetite on the 13th, next Sunday. Directly after church, we're having the grab-and-go pulled pork sandwich, chips, and a drink, $10 a plate. It'll be over there in the gym. We'll have the big roll-up door opened up. Hopefully the weather's a little bit nicer than it is today. So we'll have church merch out there for sale. We'll have barbecue plates. And we still have the gun raffle going on if you want tickets. We'll be set up in the foyer after service. And so we appreciate all the donations and the help. And it looks like our camp's going to be full of youth this year. So that's God bless that. Thank you. Oh, wait. Wait a second.
This Thursday?
Wister's, this Thursday, first classroom. What time? 12 o'clock. Got it?
And praise God, here's Jody. They were just in a wreck. We was just informed of that. Didn't think she's going to be here. But praise God, there you are, unhurt. Somebody ran a red light, but the angels of God were watching over them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? In the very back, right behind you, brother, is Brother Chuck. Good to see you there this morning. Would you pray for us, my brother?
Worship. Thank you for the rain. Even thank you for the cool weather, Father. We'll appreciate it this summer. Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit will just fall over this place this morning. Give us revelation, the ability to lay things down and just worship you. Come to the throne room of heaven. where our Father resides. Father, we just ask that you will guide us and direct us in everything that we do and say. Father, we just ask that you, and we know you do, guide and direct Pastor Todd, bringing us this message this morning that'll fall on eager hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, don't you just sense his presence this morning? Praise you, King Jesus. You are beautiful, oh God. I didn't have my harmonizers for this, and this was going to be our first song, but now I think it belongs in this spot right here.
Sing again. I'm gonna sing it again. You are beautiful.
to you, God. Praise you, Lord, that your light is shining across our nation. Your name is being spoken, Lord God, on tops of the mountains, Lord God, in the prestigious places. Lord, places that you've been eliminated from for so long, now the light is coming in. Thank you, God, that you've allowed us to come to this moment in time, allowed us to see your kingdom rising up out of the ashes. It's always been here, but now, Lord God, it's being announced. Let your light shine, Lord God.
It's time for the sleeper to awake. It's time for the old wings to change.
how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Come on.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, Jesus.
Your name, the darkness trembles. At your name, kingdoms rise, Lord God. All we can do is say thank you, Jesus. All we can do is praise your awesome name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you that you're in this house this morning. Let your kingdom fall. Let it rise up. Let it expand, Lord God. Let it become so overwhelming that even the breath we breathe, Lord God, right now is kingdom in our life.
Get up and praise the Lord.
privilege of giving you praise for another day that you've placed us, Lord God, within the powers of your kingdom, where darkness is stripped of all its glory, where your precious provision is made, Lord God, for your saints. But more than that, a king that loves his people, a government, Lord God, that we are privy to because we've trusted in the blood. The blood cries out on our behalf that we belong to you, Lord God, and the riches of the kingdom are here even now, Lord God. Help us to grasp, Lord God, and understand what you've declared belongs to your people, but more than that, so that we can give you praise and expand the glory of your kingdom, Lord God, to the rest of this planet. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we dedicate this time, Lord God, to your Holy Spirit, that the King and the kingdom and the glorious God of that kingdom is glorified and praised, Lord God. We cannot wait, Lord God, to see what is next. You're so good to us, Lord, so kind to us, Lord God. We give you all the praise. It's in your most precious, mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before you kids leave, we just have a word. I know it's...
our people. We are his people. And what started this, it was on my birthday and I got a text and they said, you know, God sure has blessed you. Well, I'm going to be in agreement. I said, you're right. God has truly blessed me. And that brought on these next thoughts. And God said, you know, every blessing that I have received that is upon me, that blessing is available, available for each and every person. Y'all remember this, because I believe this is what Todd is talking about. Seek you first the kingdom of God. And God told me the other day, and I didn't come up and share it. My bad. And then Todd turned around and preached on it. And he said, seek my face instead of my hand. Have a relationship with me instead of seeking what is in my hand to give you, like Todd is saying. Seek you, and God showed me this at the beginning of my walk. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So God's telling me all these blessings are available to each and every person. And I'm like, okay, God, then why isn't everybody receiving, walking in, living in all of these blessings? And I'm sorry, I want to show you scripture. And immediately what came to my mind, this is what happens when I sit on this for 6 days. And the very first thought that came to my mind was, God is no respecter of persons. In case you want to know where it's at, Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and he said, most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and God is no respecter of persons. That means we're all on level ground, y'all. Now we have different gifts. Todd preaches. Yeah, he's up in front of everybody. But I believe that God has given a gift to each and every one of us. And I said, okay, God, you're no respecter of persons. It's available. Then what's the problem? And this is what he showed me. And I'm going to give you the definition before I give you the scriptures. Believe. He says, my people do not believe my word. My people do not believe. The definition of believe is to accept something as true, genuine, or real. Can we agree that God's word is true, genuine, and real? It's like my husband said many years ago. He said, you know, we can't just go through the Bible and just tear out the pages that we don't like. You either believe the whole Bible or you don't. And then he said, and then he showed me this scripture. He said, then he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I know y'all have heard all of these scriptures, but before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what did you do? You had to believe in Jesus. And I believe that's his word right now, is to believe in what Todd is teaching right now, to believe in his kingdom. And if you're thinking, oh, God don't have a plan for me, oh, God doesn't love me. It took him years to convince me that he does love me. God does love you. And if you're thinking he don't love you, and if you're thinking that that kingdom of God isn't for you, or that the blessings aren't for you, I'm telling you right now, that is a lie from the enemy, and you rebuke that lie. Don't listen to him. Believe what the word of God says. And they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent, to believe in Jesus. Years ago, somebody went through something, and she's giving it as a testimony, and she was struggling. And she didn't know it was scripture that she said, and she was having trouble believing. She was going through stuff at the time, and God said, believe. And she was like, God, I want to believe. Help me in my unbelief. God says, you receive not because you ask not. Ask God. It's scriptural. I didn't put that one down here because I tried to make them short. But God says, ask and you shall receive. He says, you receive not because you ask not. If you're struggling, if you're struggling believing in the kingdom of God in all of this that Todd is teaching, just ask. That's all you got to do. John 6:29 said, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded. One more. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. What does all mean to y'all? Everything. That's what it means to me. All things are possible to those who believe. Those blessings that Todd's talking about that's into the kingdom of God, that is for each and every one of us. I want to live the life that God has prepared for me. But you got to believe, y'all. And I believe that's his word. All these blessings are available for each and every one of us. But our part is to believe in the name of Jesus. Glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more word. We'll allow you kids to be released before you start, Brother Mike. While you're speaking, my message is spinning.
You know, as I was reading, I have a habit of reading when I sing and praying at the same time. And God gave a message. You know, as I was singing, man, the Spirit fell on me, and I thought, man, you are speaking. You're speaking through all the songs that we sang this morning. He said, you have overcome. Every word that he speaks up there, the Holy Spirit is mentioned so many times in that. He says, you have overcome. Listen to the song. Read it. And when I read it, man, the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and I said, golly, I started singing in the Spirit, and I started doing everything because the Spirit was so strong, not just on one song, but every song in there. And I know it was on Brother Todd, too. But I'll guarantee you one thing. He said, I am successful in my plan. Why do you worry? And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm not worried. But he said, the thing about it is, if you read the songs up there as you're singing them and really pay attention to what God has spoke, each song was a message this morning. Every song was a message. And God said, I have everything under control. Nothing will come against my kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Anyone else? the Lord. Well, I'm sitting here listening, didn't even put my mic on. What a word. I don't know if you really grasped what, especially Cindy, had said. The Lord said, why don't you seek my face instead of my hand? Whew. That is so powerful. What a mess. Just a second. As she was speaking, my message just, I finally just put it up last night, and I thought, you know what, Lord, I'm just gonna trust you in the word today, and I'm gonna let you just kind of do this because I'm struggling. I have so much that I want to get to. I just didn't know how to. I spent a lot of time just trying to organize it, but I'm gonna just kind of let that word from the Lord kind of speak for itself. You know, why don't we see the kingdom move more often? Isn't that the big question? Well, right now, I can tell you, and you know that I've said this, that I believe that we've been in a season to prepare us for the releasing and the loosing of the kingdom. And I think that we're nearing a moment in time where you're going to be so, I mean, it's already lifting. The veil is already lifting off of us, right? You have a peace right now during the midst of a storm that you can't even imagine. Isn't that right? See, Isaiah 6, I believe it's in verse 7. Let's pull that up real fast. Like I said, I'm going to just kind of go from the hip this morning. I've got my notes. I know that I'll be going back and forth to them, but I wanted to know the direction. You know, Cindy was saying that, it seems like, why don't they understand it? Why is it this vacillating back and forth in our beliefs? Do you know why it is? Because you've been caught up, I've been caught up in a religion for so long that we have not stepped into the concept that actually releases kingdom power. Religion is the biggest problem that we have in the world. I don't know if you know that or not. I'll get into that in a second. Isaiah 6, keep coming. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Wow, that's a pretty powerful little statement, isn't it? Did you know that when you finally get to the place where you are ready for that, and you say, here I am, Lord, I'm ready, then he's going to start really making you ready. But here's the thing. If you'll get this one concept down, it's going to blow your mind. Keep coming. No, you know what? I think this may be 7. Well, this is unique. This is not where I want to go, but go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people calloused. Make the ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. You know, this is exactly what is in the New Testament. That Jesus said, their hearts are callous. They cannot hear. They cannot understand. Why do you speak to them in parables, Lord? He says, you know why? Because ever hearing, they never understand it. They never hear it. What is he really saying? He's saying, I have something that will only be offered to those who remove the callous off their hearts and begin to imagine what I'm about to tell you. I'm about to tell you something that it's going to take not dull ears to hear. You're going to have to want this. I'm going to tell it to you in storybook form, just like as a child. But I want that child to have an imagination that it begins to grow inside your spirit until it becomes actually a lifestyle, a concept. And then all of a sudden, I'll give you the power because you're actually experiencing what I came to give you. That's not my scripture, apparently. The scripture is this. Somebody find it for me. It might be Isaiah 9, verse 7. It may be something like that. But either way, I think it is Isaiah 9, verse 7. It says, unto us a child is given. Or unto us a child is born. 9:6. There we go. Thank you, brother. Let's check out this real fast. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And look at it. Everybody say it with me. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Keep coming. And of the greatness of this government and peace, there will be no end. Somebody give the King a praise. He didn't tell us this child was born and a son was given. See, the baby was born, but he was filled with the son. Right? The king had to have a body in order to be legal upon the planet. He had to come back to restore what Adam lost. Adam did not lose heaven, and he certainly did not lose a religion. Adam lost a government, a kingdom. You know what kingdom is? A king's dominion. That's what kingdom means. King's dominion. He was given rulership over the planet. Jesus was coming back to get what belonged to the people that God had made the kingdom for. Amen. Said this government. Oh, you can't talk about government in the house of God. I sure can. See, we've advanced way beyond. But see, those people that don't have ears, they'll be callous to this message. What you're seeing is a move of God on a government so that we can see what, at least an illustration of what he really wanted to bring to the planet. That's why he's doing this for us right now. Y'all know that, right? Even though God's government is not a democracy, and I'll talk about that a little bit, but we have to see that what God is doing, he's shaking up even the churches. Did you know that the preachers that didn't want nothing to do with this are finally waking up and saying, you know what, I think this is a move of God. How come? Because the devil worshipers even saying, I think God's got something to do with this. Even people that didn't want to believe are buying Bibles like crazy. Let me tell you something. It's because the government has been increasing ever since. Guess what? We don't slay each other with stones and rocks anymore, right? We still have evil upon the planet, but for the majority of the planet, do you realize we've actually evolved to a place where people want a good government with peace? Isn't it something that our heart's desire is to have a functional government where we can all just have peace? That's called kingdom-mindedness. It's not haphazard that he showed us a kingdom that was so awful and that we were headed to the pit of hell because of the awkwardness of having a small interest groups look like the majority of the people. All of a sudden, we got hopeless. Whenever really God says, listen, my kingdom is different from the world, but it affects the world's kingdoms. But I need you to exercise who you are so that I can finish the work. Why? Because the kingdoms of this world will be mine, but I want to do it not through what I do, but through what I do through my people. Okay. So here's the thing. This concept right here, back it up one more scripture. I think that we still have to go through this trail. And religion has done one thing. The religion of Christianity has helped us to see a lot of things about Jesus and the heart of God. And I always want to preach that. But I also got to remember that the message that Jesus came to preach was not normally what we preach in church. Matter of fact, what we have to always go back to is what he calls elementary teachings of God. Most churches are always going back and rehashing the resurrection, Calvary, the blood. We're rehashing born again. We're rehashing all the things that the disciples called milk. That we can't even go on to the teachings of the kingdom because we got to keep both going back to the elementary teachings all over again. By now, you should all be teachers, is what he said. But unfortunately, your hearts have become calloused. That's what he said. They didn't want to hear anything else. See, what I was teaching you last week, all of a sudden, Jesus only preached one thing to the population. What did he preach? The kingdom of God. That's all he preached. He didn't preach that he was going to die and be resurrected. Now, the disciples were to preach that. And when you believe that, now you're saved. But after you're saved, now you have to learn the things of the kingdom. It's called the secrets. Are y'all following? Go to Matthew 13. I think it's about 10. And this will kind of go back to what Cindy said. You know, why is it that people don't understand? Why do we vacillate? Why do we not believe? Do you know why? It's because, for one, I need to have a foundation that Jesus is mighty God. I need to have a foundation before I can get the government idea. I got to believe that he's also my Prince of Peace. I have to embrace him as awesome counselor. Isn't he a great counselor through his Holy Spirit? I got to embrace him as everlasting Father. But remember, I'm talking about King Jesus, the Son that will be given. See, he is the very image of the Father on the planet. That's what he came to image. Did you know what you're supposed to image? Children of the Father. Sons and daughters of the same God. We're supposed to be imaging something. Now, this is going to get fascinating, because until that becomes a foundation in your life, you're not going to grasp the government of God. Is everybody with me okay? Okay. Same day, Jesus went out the lake. Let's go to about 10. The disciples came to Jesus and says, why do you speak to the people in parables? He said, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Now, this is pretty wild. The secrets, now they don't even know it yet. They're asking the question. The parables contain secrets, do they not? Then he says this unique phrase. He says, you know, he says, whoever has, look at it, will be given more. And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. See, so many people come to this house and say, oh, I've heard that message before. And they shut their ears down. But see, they don't realize it. I've heard it so many times. I've preached it so many times, but I'm saying it in another level. How come? Because in my heart of hearts, there's something else there. And I know this, that if I have a breakthrough, that anointing will come out to you. That's what he said. Whatever I do from this pulpit will be given to you. But you have to do something else. You must have ears to hear, number one. And you must have a heart to seek after it. That's what he says. Seek ye first what? A kingdom. That's what he wants. He wants you to learn about a government, not a religion. See, if you think you've got it, then what you've got is truly a religion. Do you know why I know that? Look at the next verses. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. Watch this. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. So here's the thing. What's he going to give me more of if I'll seek it? Secrets. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. What is it that he says, the secrets. If you'll seek after them, I'll start giving you more secrets. More secrets. You know what the secrets are also called? Keys. Keys to the kingdom. I got a bunch of keys. Some keys, I don't know where they go. I like it when I know where the key goes. Amen. This is the thing. He didn't say key. He said keys. And when he said that, right after he said it, he said, Peter, who do the people say that I am? Well, some say you're Elijah, some Jeremiah, some, you know, so you're a prophet. That's what they say. Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. What? The Christ, the anointed King, the Son of God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That was the Spirit of God. There's the starting point. And then he says, now upon this rock, I'm going to build my ecclesia. When I really understand that he's a king, not a prophet, that he is a king and he's going to have this ecclesia. Remember I told you last week what the ecclesia was. This is a governing body. It'll get easier. And he says, upon that statement, I'm going to start to build my kingdom. And he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But then he says this, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Woo! Now wait a second. It ain't done. He says, then whatever you bind upon the earth, I'll bind it in the heavenly realms. Whatever you loose upon the earth, I will loose it in the heavenly government. See, this is about a government. This is about something that once you embrace the concept, you're already in it. Oh, man. See, that's a secret of the kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom, but it's more real than the kingdom that you're living in right now. Oh, I got something to tell you, saints, today. I just don't know how I'm going to get there. So let's say it this way. Again, what are the whole Bible is about three concepts: a king, a kingdom, and its keys. That's what this is. This is about a colonization project. That a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, wanted to colonize a place called earth. And so what he did, he sent people to this earth. And now, do you realize that you are actually a heavenly being? You're just given an earthly body in order to colonize this planet. Are y'all following me? So he wanted to establish something brand new. And so he gave, he knew you before you ever conceived in your mother's womb. That's pretty unique, isn't it? I don't know if there was a conversation. I don't know if I was this knowing soul. I don't know any of that. I just know that he knew me before he sent me. Are y'all following me? He knew all the hairs upon my head. How come? Because he knit my body in my mother's womb. And even then, he knew the plan that he sent me to the planet to do. What was he meant to do? Do you know that a colony, usually you have, again, Jesus came during a time where there was an empire, where there was a kingdom called the Roman Empire, right? Now, what Rome was doing, they were colonizing or they were going and taking over territories. They didn't have to do it with force. They didn't have to kill the people. What they did was they would go in there, claim this area, and then they would send in a governor to change the people, right? And what he would do is he would go in there and teach them the ways of the kingdom that was taking over that area, that colony, that territory. I actually have a definition. It's kind of more like this. Colonization is the expansion of a kingdom to a distant territory in order to extend a king's influence over that region. In essence, to extend the kingdom of heaven to earth and to make it a colony of heaven. This is the project of the Bible. So, believe it or not, I'll just keep on. So this governor would begin to train the people. He would have people that was also, they would begin to teach them the language of the kingdom, the dress of the kingdom. Thank God we're not like the Brits driving on the wrong side of the road. And, No, see, again, when you go to other places, when we was in Bahamas, man, it's just crazy to me because they're driving on the wrong side of the vehicle. And it's just kind of freaking me out how he was doing that. But anyways, but that's the thing. So they have to wear ties. They have to, they dress like the Brits. And these are Bohemians. At first, they were tribal. They was naked over there. But once they colonized it, now they're doing everything like the English. That's exactly what the kingdom of heaven is trying to do. See, here's the beauty of what's going on. You and I, are not from earth. We're from a different kingdom. But God, when he puts you here, then you have what is called sovereignty. Sovereignty is, it's basically that you're a king of your own territory. Did you know that you've been called kings and priests in the earth? But see, here's the thing. So he gives you a piece of sovereignty. What is my sovereignty? The land that I live on, the family that is mine, the job that I do. Everything about my life now, I have to accept If I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, what I'm doing is I'm being a representative, kind of like a governor, if you would, a liaison for another kingdom, an invisible kingdom. Oh, are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So everything that I do, what I'm trying to do is I'm going to teach my kids the ways of an invisible kingdom that I'm already a part of. Oh, let's just look at it for what it is. Let's see. So the kingdom of God, it can't be a religion working in you because it has no power. If Christianity is simply a religion to you, then you'll never find the freedom from all fear. If it's just a religion to you, you will never accept the provision that comes from a king. I don't know. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, somebody told me, they said, you know what? When they get quiet, Todd, they're really listening. When they give praise and all that, they already know it, and they're just praising you. Thank you, Cindy. She relayed that to me. And I'm like, you know what? That helps me. Y'all always say amen, yes, yes. That's when you know exactly what I'm saying. But see, when you're really listening, you get kind of quiet. I've accepted that. Forgive me for wanting an amen every once in a while. Right? So the knowledge of the secrets, these are the keys. This is about sovereignty. And what he says is in other words, when you hear the components of the kingdom, it's not a religion at work. Again, religion is one of the greatest problems that we have. If you'll go with me to, let's look at the scripture. Where did I write it? Oh, I can't remember what. I can quote it to you all day long, but like I said, I didn't know where I was going this morning, so I've got a lot of things in here. Go to Luke 4, verse 42. You know, when Jesus stepped into the ministry, his first thing in Matthew 4:17, he says, from this day forward, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And every chapter after that was the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he keeps comparing it to thing after thing. But then, having once been asked, it says, give me, what is that? Is that what I said? Okay, let's read it. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to him, where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to all the towns, because that's why I was sent. And he kept on preaching and said, I don't think that's where I want to go. But that's a good statement. I'll say it this way. Let me just say it. Is it? Oh, here it is, Luke 17:20. Luke 17:20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come. Now that's a good question, ain't it? Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Now, that's pretty unique because now we understand it can be. But it's different. Some people say, here it is. There it is. Because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Then he said to his what? No, not an MIB. Wow, that went way past my point. The King James says, some will say, there it is and here it is. But I tell you this, the kingdom of God is within you. Here's what he just said. Listen, okay, we'll make this point. So in the Old Testament, God wanted a people of his own. And so what he did, he went to the poorest group. They had nothing. They had no money. And out of that poorest group, he finally started saying, listen, I want you to become my people. And he gave them the laws of the kingdom. They were laws that he wanted so that his kingdom would begin to evolve and be a great kingdom. but they couldn't fulfill it to its perfection. Matter of fact, at one point they said, you know what? We want a different king. We want a king. We want a king like the other nations. That's what they told Moses. Remember? And God says, tell them they don't want that. They don't want an external king. Because they don't want to be governed by an external force. Listen, if they'll just become my people, if they'll just learn my ways, I'll make it perfect for them. They didn't want a king like that. They wanted a physical manifestation of a different kind of government. Boy, ain't we seeing how bad that can be? Well, they saw it too. But either way, God ended up giving them what they asked for, a king, an external that was part of this world. But what he really wanted was a people that would appreciate a king that was invisible. And if they would start to become this colony of people that would do what that king wanted, he would make all provision for them. He would provide protection for them. They would be the strongest people on the planet. But instead, when they got their physical king, what happened? It took them down a different kind of path. But did you know that God was not surprised? Again, what we're seeing is this need for God to put inside of us this want, these laws in our heart where they're embedded, that I may sin not against you, Lord, that I see him, that I have this invisible government that's within me, and the only people that can see it are the people that I'm portraying it to, because I believe in it so much so that I'm actually operating in its principles now, and the provision is now. Are you all hearing what I'm saying? See, this is about becoming a citizen, being vetted right now, and being a part of something that is now. That's why he said, repent. Turn from all that wickedness and become a part of my provisionary kingdom. And in that, I want you to be a liaison where you now represent my kingdom everywhere you go. Right? So I'm representing the kingdom first and foremost to my family. Why? Because I want to expand the kingdom. So what I'm doing is I'm instilling the principles. Hey, we don't need lie. No, you're not going to cheat. You're not going to steal. Get over here. I'm going to bust your butt. I told you no and I meant no. Well, I don't spank my kids. I just love them too much. No, you don't. Bible says, spare the rod, you hate your child. How come? Because if you do not conform that child into the kingdom ways, can they be a part of the kingdom just by being a rebel? Just by believing in the blood of Jesus? See, God ain't going to give keys to rebels. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Now listen, I know we fall short in our hearts. It's because we don't understand kingdom. When you begin to understand kingdom, just like you understand being American, you can't go busting into stores taking anything you want like they do in New York. Right? You're getting to see what you can't do, what they got away with. But guess what? That ain't going to be for long. They all going to get locked up. Every single one. There's a law that's about to be coming justice. But see, if they would have just turned, if they'd have come back and said, you know what, I stole this TV. I'm sorry. I got convicted. I felt wrong. Please, do what you have to. The sentence is a whole lot lighter. But for those that will not repent and turn, there's going to be a sentence. That's the same thing with the kingdom of God. Guess what? I don't have to fret about being a citizen of America. I hate buckling my seatbelt, but I do it. There's a lot of things I hate. But guess what? See, the kingdom is different from a democracy. The kingdom is unique. See, in a democracy, you've got a president and you've got rights. In a kingdom, you have privileges. Are y'all following? See, in a kingdom, the king gives you privileges. He knows if he's a good king, his glory is in his people who love him. That's why he does good things for his people. But guess what? He don't have to do anything. And yet we hold a king accountable sometimes. You said. You know what? You don't point fingers at kings. You don't demand from kings. My child ever did that? You said you better do this. Get over here, you brat. I mean, come on, right? I know what I said, but you're not going to treat me like that. I'm going to bust your butt and you're going to be grounded for a week. Then we'll go do what I said. Are y'all? I need you to see. See, here's the beauty of what a king can do. A king, okay, there's a story of a bartender. He worked in the courts of heaven. His name was Nehemiah. And all of a sudden, he's walking around, and he usually has a smile on his face, joy in his heart. And one day, the king sees Nehemiah, and he's all down and out. He says, son, what's clouding your heart? What's the matter? He says, you know what? My people, they're estranged. They're disregarded as a people, you know, and we're being attacked in every way. You know, what we need is a place of our own. We need a village. And he says, you know what? I'm going to write you a letter. And I'm going to grant you with this letter that whatever you need, you just go and you tell them, I want you to go into my forests over here, and you find whatever cedar trees you need, you start cutting them down. When you need something, you go into the marketplace, and you start telling them. And when they start asking you why I should give it to them, you just show them this letter, and they'll give you whatever I tell them to give you. What? Yeah, those letters became law for that man. That privilege became a law for that man because the king put his stamp upon it. He put his name upon it. And now, because of favor, this guy can go anywhere and all he's got to do is present what the king said. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See that thing, what she's talking about, belief? Jesus said, if you believe anything the king says, anything's possible for you. How come? Because there's a letter. There's some red letters in that book. There's some letters in that book that give me credibility, that gives me the right to go to any place and say, you know what? The king of a different kingdom has just said, no, he owns what you own on this planet. That king says, you know, you have to give me favor. Oh, man, the king's favor is what you want. If you got the king's favor, you got law, personal law to your life. If you got the king's favor, you've got something that nobody can take from you. Oh, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said, you're healed by the stripes that I put upon my back. You're healed. Do I really believe that? Well, I don't know. If you question a king, oh, I don't know if you ever. See, we don't understand. All we see is democracy. President can't promise you anything. He gives you some kind of favor. They're going to call that a bribe. Right? Democracy does not work in the same manner. Yes, you have rights, but the same rights that you're given, I can go kill a baby with the rights that I've been given in this country. And I've got the law to back me. It's called abortion. Are y'all following what I'm saying? I can go burn my flag. You can't do that in a kingdom. Woo. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, here's the thing. The world needs to see this colonizational change by the people who are a part of the colony. And when they begin to see this change, guess what? What begins to happen? Your king sees you changing those lives. Religion cannot change people. People don't change till they get a vision of something. You know, there's a bumper sticker I saw the other day. You know, what does it say? Jesus, can you do something about your followers? Something like that. In other words, you know, Gandhi even said it. I love your Jesus. I just don't like his followers. Do you know why? Because most of them were operating in a religion. When you're in a religion, all you're doing is fighting to be right. You're fighting for your concept of what this means to be right. And if I state it wrong, you're at war with me. See, religion always divides. It always creates wars. Religion has killed more people upon this planet. See, here's the thing. Everybody's got a religion. Even the atheist got a religion. And they'll fight you tooth and nail to defend it. What is that religion?
There is no God. You can't tell me there's a God.
That's their religion. They are their own God. So they're going to fight you. Liberals, the people that are fighting us right now, do you know why they're fighting this system so bad? Because they're part of a kingdom of darkness. And anything that is a part of the kingdom of light, they oppose it. Why? Because it shows the condition of their own hearts. And they know in their heart of hearts that there is a God. But if they ever surrender to it, they got to surrender to his laws, his customs, and his traditions. They don't want that. They oppose it. Am I making sense? Yes, I am making sense. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me see what I actually have in my notes. You know, loving one another, that's a kingdom thing. Not stealing, that's a kingdom thing. Do you realize how perfect the world would be if we all just shared the kingdom of God? See, that's what's coming. But that's what he says. My kingdom is already in your hearts. You're exposing it to the world. You're doing what he sent us to do, colonizing the world, changing it, shaping it. We're a lot farther along than what you realize. You've been watching these liberals act like fools for so long, you think that the world's really populated with that. No, that's a minority. There's a majority out there that wants peace. We're seeing that now. We've been lied to and taken from for so long. That's how the kingdom of darkness works. It blinds your eyes. It blinds your ears. It makes you think one thing, and then you can't operate in the power of the kingdom. How come? Because there's no joy. Let the joy of the Lord become your strength. How come? Because I belong to a different kingdom. When he says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world, he's not talking about the globe. He's talking about the government. You're in a government, but you're not of that government. You're in another government, and it's my government. And to its expansion, there's no end. To its peace, there's no end. Once it began, as long as you're pursuing it, it will keep on growing. But guess what? If you don't pursue it, it will begin to diminish, and you'll fall right back into the kingdom of this world. Are y'all following it? See, you must seek this. If you want the kingdom, you've got to want the kingdom. Because see, what he's doing is he, and we're seeing this, is being exposed in real time. Do you realize all these people that were standing up saying, you know what, this isn't what, it, you know, God is in control. There's leaderships trying to say, don't take the shot. There's leaderships out there, people of professions, and they're saying, don't do this and don't. This is a lie. It's all a lie. And they were criticized, beat down, taken off their internet or their website. Now, look at them. They're being placed in high positions. That's how the kingdom operates. You get tested, and you get tested, and you get tested. And then if you just keep on pushing the truth, keep on pushing the customs, keep on pushing the kingdom of God, it's going to be opposed. It's going to be opposed. But guess what? At one point, you start binding and loosing the power of God against it. And then all of a sudden, it expands. Looks like it was diminished, but that's what he says. The kingdom of heaven suffers wrath, but the violent take it by force. That's what he told John. Ever since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom has been advancing. And he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John wasn't in the kingdom yet. When Jesus came in, he was the precursor to Jesus. When Jesus came in, the king and the kingdom came. And then he says this, he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. In other words, now my kingdom can come. How come? Because my people are going to bring my kingdom. And all that injustice that they've been... Remember last week we talked about Paul. Paul is... He's laid over, and they're getting ready to whip him. Now, he's been trained in the greatest of schools of Rome. He is a brilliant mind. Matter of fact, he... at one point was destroying the Jews because he got high clearance from the Roman Empire. And now he's in a situation where he's been preaching the kingdom, and Satan is sending forth these Roman soldiers, and they're about to flog him. Right? How come? Because everything is opposing him. So now he's been over. Now, if he had not remembered his citizenship, then he would have been beat with 40 lashes. They know 40 lashes can bleed you out. Now, I don't know how many lashes he was supposed to get, but all of a sudden, he says this, is it right for you to do this to a Roman citizen? And all of a sudden, they start backing up, and they start freaking out. And I'm like, he's a Roman citizen? They're freaking out because they know now that they have done something that the king can come against them with. This is a Roman citizen. If this makes the king look bad, y'all follow what's happening here? And it would certainly make the king look bad to flog one of his citizens when he had no right. Now, if it was a nobody, who cares? But when he said that, you're flogging a Roman citizen, and one of the soldiers backed up and he says, man, we got to do something here. He starts asking his spirit, he says, you know, you say you're a Roman citizen. I paid a lot of money for my citizenship. He says, I was born a Roman citizen. Now they are freaking out. They don't know what to do. Get him unleashed, cut him loose. And they said, you know what, we can just take care of this. You know, if you'll just forget about this, we'll just all move along. He says, nope, I want an appeal to Caesar. What? Now they're shaking in their boots. I'm painting a picture for you. Now they're shaking in their boots and they're like, you sure we can't talk you out of this? I mean, he says, you get me to Rome. I want to stand before the king. See, he had a right to stand before the king. Do you know how many times you've been illegally beaten? How many times Satan has illegally trespassed on your property using individuals that he knew could hurt you, using people to flog you, to do things, and you did not remember who you were. See, you're not dealing with flesh and blood here. You're dealing with principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And all of a sudden, one day, I was beat down. Some of y'all heard this story. I was beat down. I was being accused of this, accused of that. And I began to cry. I was a pastor, and you can't imagine what pastors can go through. That's why I have to ask any young man, are you sure that's what God called you to do? And I was beat down. I mean, I slid down the wall crying. God, they this, and God, they that, and God, they did this, and they said that. And God says, I mean, he point blank asked me this question. Who is they? Who is they? And I thought, what? Who is they? I sat there and I began to realize, I'm not dealing with flesh and blood. These were accusations coming from a different kingdom. And I said, Lord, I want to apologize to you for that. Now I'm embarrassed about it. If you'll give me 1 second. I got up on my feet and I said, devil, let me tell you who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a citizen of King of Heaven. You've got no right to do this to me. Oh, man. And then I started binding and loosing the power of God. How come? Because I realize no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, I have the right to condemn it on behalf of the king. And all of a sudden, I started standing against this. I rose up, and I started stomping on the ground. Y'all, it looked like a desert dance. There was dust going everywhere. And I mean, devil, finally, I got joyful, and I started doing it this way. And I didn't come back to the king until he was proud of me. See, until you finally realize this is a kingdom, there's a king, and he will not put up with his people being brutalized by something he can thump with his own finger. One word, he can send them into the dust. But then he says, I give you that authority. Anything you buy, I'm going to give you a key. if you know me to be that way, then I'm going to let you do whatever I can do. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God and now take your stand. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? See, my kingdom has grown. I didn't care about what my prosperity. I wanted to prosper, but I wanted to serve a king. Thing was, I was caught up in religion for so long, and when I finally broke free from religion, and I remember the day it happened, and from that day on, I've been trying to colonize, grow this beautiful kingdom upon this planet. And do you know what? You're the crop. You're the ones that didn't walk out. You're the ones that did not get confused. You're the people of the kingdom. Come on, somebody say amen. I know you've been attacked. But this is what proves us in the invisible realm. If he'd have said nothing, what he had would have been taken away. But see, he was already given something. He was already given a key to the kingdom. If he'd have said nothing, never used the keys, then all of a sudden, what he had could have been taken away. Are y'all following what I'm saying? See, sovereignty means you're responsible. If you can't blame God for all the crap in your life. We got to realize that sovereignty says, all right, I give you a kingdom. There it is. Do something with it. But too many people think it's religion and all they're trying to do is get to heaven. Let me tell you something. Jesus, he said the kingdom of heaven has come down to earth. That's what he said. He didn't, Jesus did not preach deliverance, even though he delivered people. He did not preach miracles, even though he made miracles. What was the miracles to do? Point to the kingdom. What was deliverance supposed to do? Point to the kingdom. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, tell them the kingdom of God has come upon them. See, again, we put something in this box that was a key to justice. But it's also so that we can see the kingdom manifest itself in its fullness. See, what we're doing, and when you do kingdom things, the kingdom begins to grow. And when you have a suit for the kingdom and the king gives you favor, all of a sudden there's a law that protects you. If I truly believe that I'm a part of the kingdom, then I truly believe that Psalm 91 is mine. That I abide now in the shadow of the Most High. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. How come? Because the kingdom is upon me. It's within me, and now it's without me. I've brought from the inside to without. That's what happens when you make the declarations. You bring the kingdom from within, and then audibly, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. I want the fruit of the kingdom. How about you? Am I making sense? Yes, I'm making sense. Hallelujah. Because you can hear. You have ears to hear, eyes to see. You are the luckiest people in the world because the secrets of the kingdom have been given to you. Hallelujah. Woo, that's pretty good, Holy Spirit. I like it. Jesus said in Luke 12, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I realize, again, you're going through so many of these hurts and trials. These have come, 1 Peter 1, these trials of many kinds have come. You know what? Let's just look at it. Read it the other night, but every time I read it, this is one of my favorite scriptures. 1 Peter 1, let's just start at verse 1. You are a heavenly being in an earthly body. You must traverse this planet in a vehicle. I'm sorry that some of your vehicles are crashing down. And it's because there's sin still living in this body. So we have to overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and love not your lives even unto death. How come? Because at death you get to see the very kingdom you're a part of. But this, give me the next scripture. Wow. 1 Peter 1. I think that's where I want to go. Let's just read this. Let's go to 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, the King's favor. Another word for favor is called grace. We label grace as unmerited favor. It is good to have the King's favor, because if you've got the King's favor, nobody can touch you. Especially when favor becomes law, personal law to you. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Did you know that you cannot be a part of a kingdom unless a king tells you and accepts you to be a part of a kingdom? You did not choose this. God chose you before the foundations of the earth. He's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is where he made it legal. Keep going. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it doesn't fade away. It is reserved in heaven. See, that's in the invisible place, which is operating within you. And it says that that's not going to fade away. It's kept by the power of God through what? Believing it's there. You better know in your knower that it's there. Don't you say to me, when I say, you know what, are you ready to go? Well, you know, I'm a little scared. I realize, you know, fear of the unknown is one thing. But if you're worried about your salvation at the end, I'm going to slap you before you die. Because you may have to make me preach all this stuff all over again to you, you sorry thing. It's already kept. It's already kept by the power of God. It's already there. You've got nothing to worry about. For a salvation ready to be revealed. See, there's a third salvation that comes. You're a triune being. And that is the new body. Your soul, when it leaves this body, your body's going to fall to the ground. You don't need the old vehicle anymore. No, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. How come? Because your soul has aligned itself with the Holy Spirit. You have become one with him, and he's already the resurrection. If you have him who is the resurrection, you are already resurrected. Amen. Glory to God. I just feel good, don't you? Feel good about being a resurrected being already? This old body, it is one thing, but I ain't leaving this planet till I'm dang good and ready, and I ain't ready yet. I'm going to fulfill the plan that was wrote in my book when he created me in my mother's womb. I'll tell you one of the first things you can bind yourself to. I bind myself to what you wrote in my book, and I loose your power to do whatever it takes to get me there. So all that's kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Watch this. Keep coming. Yep. In this you greatly rejoice. See, we've already celebrated. Though now for a little while, if need be, in other verses, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Anybody been grieved by various trials? Of course you have. Every single one of us must be vetted to see if we will go, I'm either going to land on one side or the other. I'm going to land on my identity in this world, and I'm going to fight for that identity. Or I'm going to accept what God said about me, and I'm going to fight for my identity on the other side. It's one or the other. This is a vetting process to see what kingdom you belong to. You've been... In this, you greatly rejoice, but for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Watch this. Watch it. It's coming. That the genuineness of your faith, see, you believe it. I am a citizen of heaven. You will not touch me like that anymore, devil. Let me tell you something. I've got justice, and I'm coming after your sorry hide. Right? You got to get some passion about this. How come? Because if you don't have passion, I got to ask the question, do you really believe it? See, you only have passion for what you really believe in. Come on. The genuineness that you're being tested so that the genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold, even though it perishes, though it's tested by fire. We want the genuineness of your faith to be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of King Jesus, the anointed king. Keep going. Watch this. Man.
whom, watch this, having not seen him, you love him. And though you don't see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now, before you see this next one, every single one of you, when you sing these songs now, you start to sense this personal rejoicing on the inside. I actually look down today. I never look at you when you worship. I used to be moved by it. You know, sometimes I couldn't sing the words. Sometimes I was like, why ain't they worshiping? You know. Now it's about, I just want to lead. I'm looking up here. But today I look down. And I saw people filled with an inexpressible joy. They had a hands up because they knew that they've let go of their pride. They've let go of their identity in this world. And they know that I've come to worship a king in a kingdom that I cannot see. That there's a king that I cannot see, but his government is inside of me. I cannot help but change, and I cannot help but influence and affect the rest of the people around me. Do you know when you begin to do that, your sphere of influence begins to grow? Now watch this. Don't leave it yet, but do prepare to change it. having not seen him, you love him. Oh, there's something unique about that. Though you do not see him now, and many of you have been tested in many kinds, you could have walked away from Jesus at any point. Wasn't that the test? He doesn't love you. He's not there. He's not real. He does not care about you. You're worthless. You're not like so-and-so, and you're not like so-and-so. All those are lies from an enemy in this world. You got to say, who is they? Who is they? See, if you're part of a kingdom, you don't care who they are. You only care about an audience of one. And if he believes in you, that's all that matters. And the only way he can believe in you is if you believe in him. See, God is faithful. The biggest test you have is not so much trusting in God as can God trust in you. Oh, if I'm a child of God, I trust my Father. The worst thing you can do is tell a king he's a liar. Mm-mm-mm. Having not seen him, you love him. Though you don't see him now, you yet believing. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Watch this. For you are receiving the end of your faith. Look at it. Underline it. The salvation of your souls. You know, is it well in your soul? The whole purpose. You've been given the Spirit of God, but you still have flesh. You have to decide where you land. Do I still land on my identity in this world, or am I landing in a kingdom? And I'm going to start changing my ways, my traditions, my customs. I'm going to start riding on the right side of the road. I'm going to become a part of something that is already here, and now I'm going to start to expose it to the people around me. You look here for the kingdom, you look there for the kingdom, but I tell you this, look at me, I'll show you what the kingdom looks like. That's what God wants. He wants us to colonize this place once again, be his voice until he comes. But here's another thing, and this is what I'm going to read it to you. I read it to you last week, and at the last minute, I'm going to close with this particular scripture. In Daniel chapter 7, it tells us how this all plays out. Daniel never saw Jesus. He didn't see anything, but he did see something in a vision. And he told this vision, and it's for the body of Christ. He says this in Daniel 7, verse 21, I was watching, and that same horn, this is the Antichrist, he was making war against the saints and seemed to be prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor. Everybody say favor. In favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. In verse 26, and the court was seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. And then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This kingdom is coming right here. He's been telling us to pray for it, and we pray for it every single time we meet in this house. Guys, you're about to see something in the days ahead that is going to open your eyes to you where you can see. It's going to open your ears to be able to hear. You're going to quit walking and sobbing in a religious Christianity. You're going to start walking in a vibrant, victorious concept called the kingdom of God. And when you get that concept, now God can release the provisions. Now God can do things. He could not do it while you were still in a hindering place called religion. How come? Because then I would start teaching that very thing. That is not the concept Jesus came to give. You, beloved, are the children of the Most High God. Stand to your feet. Let's give him praise. Join across the aisles. By the way, you know what? Those soldiers had to take Paul all the way to Rome. Now think about this. He was opposed, but when he stood up for what was his, they had to take him all the way to Rome. There's a lot of things went wrong, but because he was now under the guise of the king, he had made a statement. Couldn't take him out with a shipwreck. Couldn't take him out with a snake. And he stood before Caesar, and do you know what he left with? Caesar gave him a house in Rome and put soldiers guard over him, and he got to write the majority of the New Testament. Jesus said, in this time, and although through testing, even in this life, you'll be given an abundance. Houses, children, blessing in this life, if you can suffer through certain trials. See, here's what's happening. God has been testing you. He's been shaking you to see how you would stand. How come? Because the hour is